From Edge Radio 99.3 FM, this is an edit of The Dice Men Cometh, the podcast.
The Dice Men Cometh!
From pillar to pax, from alchemists to zombies, from Russia with railroads, this is The Dice Men Cometh, once again for a Wednesday night, the little board gaming cast podcast that could... My name's Trent.
And I'm Mark.
Welcome back from PAX, Mark.
Oh, PAX, PAXity, PAXity, PAX.
We've got the PAX.
We are PAXed on. We're up the PAX. We're all PAXed out.
PAX on, PAX off. PAX on, PAX off.
We had a fantastic time at PAX. We met some of you. Hopefully you met some of us. We're going to be talking all about PAX on this show. That's all I've got to say.
Plus games and stuff. Board games and things. And card games.
Which happened to PAX. Stuff.
And some really exciting news, which we'll get to in just a sec.
Oh.
You know, I had this whole elaborate intro for this next song that I was going to... But I think actually the names of everything just speaks for itself. This is a band called The Cancer Bats. And it's a new song called Arsenic in the Year of the Snake. Woo! Cancer Bats, Arsenic in the Year of the Snake. I've been waiting for a new album from those guys for a little while, and that kicks us off tonight on this here little board gaming and card gaming and nerd gaming show that we call The Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio, live out of Hobart, 99.3 FM, Trent and Mark.
Now, before we talk about what we've been playing, you can't tease me like this, Trent. What is the exciting news?
Oh, exciting, yes, exciting news. We're coming up to the 50th episode of this show.
Oh, yeah. And this is episode 46. Yeah.
And we're gonna sort of get over that milestone. Mm-hmm. And after that we'll go into our third season on Edge Radio, and we are gonna be moving to Thursday night.
Yes.
Okay, so that got confirmed with us today.
Fantastic.
Thank you to Alistair and to Mark and to Honey and everyone at the Edge Radio crew who have sort of given us the thumbs up. And look, that, you know, just in our personal, boring, suburban, white, old guy life, that helps us.
Yeah.
But it also enables us to do something else.
Yeah.
And that's bring in a new Dice Man.
Yes. And, no.
Well, we
no, won't. Hang on. I'm not sure I'm happy about this.
We're not gonna...
He's almost taken my seat once.
No, we're not. No more. We'll say no more at the moment, okay?
Okay.
Because he has to cough up his dough. And,
oh, that's right. Yeah.
And jump through a few hoops.
May or may not to be confirmed.
But look, nothing else is going to change in terms of how you listen to the show. It's just going to be on a Thursday night. You'll still be able to stream it and podcast it and all that stuff.
Fantastic.
Anyway, what have we been playing lately?
Look,
well, what haven't we?
Yeah, exactly. We've played so many games. We're going to talk about a few of them during the course of the show. But I want to start with...
Just
very exciting little game.
Okay, let's just bring everybody up to speed. Of course, last week in Melbourne
for those who came in late,
the Penny Arcade Expo 2014, a huge video gaming expo at the Melbourne Convention Centre. We went along there and presented a little panel. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but there was this whole board gaming thing out the back, and boy, was there some stuff to play.
Oh man, yeah. So look, we had a bit of a bucket list before we went. Now this game wasn't actually on it, but on the first day we were there, we didn't play many games, and I saw a lot of people playing this game, Machikoro.
Oh yeah,
which is a Japanese game.
We've talked a lot about these little Japanese games that are in these tiny little boxes, but they just offer so much playability.
Absolutely. Now this game, designed by Masao Suganuma, and produced by IDW Games. Now, come to IDW Games in a minute. Anyway, from the original Japanese, now in an English version and a few other languages, it's a little card game. It has a bit of a mechanic-like Settlers of Catan, where you're rolling a die or dice,
mm-hmm.
two dice perhaps, and depending on what numbers come up, you get... in Catan, you get resources, but in this game, you just get money. There's only one resource, it's money. So you start off with a couple of cards, where if you roll a one or if you roll a two, you can get some money.
And those cards are your wheat field and your bakery.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And then you use this money to buy extra cards. Now, And there are cards for if you roll a 3, if you roll a 4, if you roll a 5, right up to 12. And so it has a sort of a deck-building feel, but you're not building a deck. You are building a tableau out in front of you, maybe Race for the Galaxy style, and spending your money.
Except this is all themed in sort of cutesy, well nice sort of simple primary colour graphics.
If Hello Kitty lived in a village, this might be the village that Hello Kitty lived in, because they're all cutesy little buildings, very Japanese styling, little cards, but, you know, very clear iconography, really easy to understand.
So shopping centre, factory, furniture store, forests.
And so some cards you only get money if you roll that number, the number that's on the top. Some cards you get money when other people roll that number, and some cards you get money when anyone rolls that number. And what you have is you start off with these four cards you have to build to win the game, basically. One costs 4, one costs 10, one costs 16, one costs 22 coins, quite a large number of coins. So really simple in its idea, but the strategy, look, I think you could play it a lot. It has some expansions coming out. The way the box is designed, there's clearly a lot more expansions coming out.
That's what actually put me off buying it, to be frank, because it wasn't much, but it's a whole lot of empty air inside, and I just know there's a world of pain in costly expansions coming.
Yeah, but look at... I'm thinking of getting it myself, actually. It's really...
Oh, it's good. It's a good game.
Yeah, look,
don't get me wrong.
I really enjoyed it. It played quite quick, probably an hour or less. Mm. And, you know, and none of us had ever played it before. So, yeah, look, I really liked Machikoro. Now, just quickly, IDW Games is the games arm of IDW Publishing, now better known as a comic and graphic novel publisher.
I have many of their titles.
Yeah, but what I didn't realise, they brought out, in 2012, they brought out Yado. And then this year they've bought out an X-Files Games, and they actually printed the fourth edition re-release of Tammany Hall, which we've played and was a really fun game. So, yeah, so I think Pandasaurus Games bought out the third edition, and then after Stratamax Games were the original publishers, they bought out the fourth edition this year. So IDW Games, sort of, you know, I was quite surprised to see that on the box.
In keeping with their comics publishing arm, the artwork that they have on their games is quite nice.
Yeah,
particularly
really good.
That new X-Files title that's coming out. I don't know if the game's going to be any good. I mean, it's a licensed product, so probably not. But it does look great, at least.
Anyway, Machikoro, get on it. I reckon it was one of the most played games at PAX, and certainly a lot of the game stores there that had booths had big stocks of it, and they were going through it very quickly.
Meanwhile, I've played the game of the year, and so have you, in fact.
Oh.
Literally the game of the year.
Yeah,
the winner of this year's Spiel des Jahres game, Camel Up.
Woohoo!
Or is it called Camel Cup?
Yeah, there was some, you know...
Because they share the C in that logo, but I think everyone's calling it Camel Up.
I'm going to call it Camel Butt.
This is the game that finally brings betting on camel races to the table at home. So the most notable thing about this game, aside from the fact that it won Game of the Year, is that there's this pyramid, a cardboard pyramid with a little rubber band contraption on it, and you put the dice inside the pyramid... Tip it upside down, as you do with your great pyramids.
Yes.
And
so thematic.
You know, and then sort of tap this thing and one dice will fall out. And that will move the camels around this little racetrack. So there's this huge random element in it. It's different coloured dice and they correspond with the different camels that go around. You can on your go, you can do one of four actions. You can do this thing with the dice. You can put out a tile that you've got on the racetrack that will either help or hinder one of the camels.
Make the massive mover, making a camel move back one space, or forward one space. So dramatic.
You can bet on the outcome of the race as well. And you can bet on either the race end, so that's the whole race, or on the end of the leg.
The leg end.
Thank you. Which is, because I think there's five
leg
different
ends.
Camels... Five different coloured dice, so once all the dice come out of the pyramid, that's the end of a leg, and then you've got to put the dice back in the pyramid and go around again. All right, if we're sounding less than impressed, it's because we're not.
No, we are definitely less than impressed.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, okay, so the one thing I did, I was actually, you know me, I like being the contrary curmudgeon at the table, okay? So I was actually... going into this really hoping that this was going to be a quick little bit of fun or something, but it's just not. It's awfully disappointing, and we'll just add our dissenting opinion to those who hate the result of this year's Spiel des Jahres. What is the Spiel des Jahres actually for, Mark? Well,
it's meant to be
talked about this a lot, and this has really crystallised my thinking on it.
Yeah, so it's meant to be for German family games. So in other words, a German family could walk into their local Kmart or whatever, wherever you buy games in Germany, and you can buy games in a lot of places in Germany, a lot more than you can here, and they see that the badge on the sign, the Spiel des Jahres red pawn with the wreath on it, and they're supposed to be able to go, that'll be a great game for our family, we'll love it, and it'll be simple to teach, simple to play, grandma can join in, little Freddy can, you know, little Friedrich can join in, it'll be fun for the whole family.
If you look at the games that have won this in the past, you can see that theme coming through. So you've got Hanabi that won last year, which is a very simple little card game of building a fireworks display of all things. Games like Quirkle, Dixit, Zooloretto, very much in that family kind of realm. And you've got the odd little thing like Kingdom Builder or Dominion, which is maybe a little bit crunchier, but by and large, the games are quite simple. And Camel Up fits well and truly in that. We're talking about an award that attempts to create a kind of mass market family appeal game.
Yeah, although I think the thing that, you know, people may not realise so much is because gaming is much more a part of family culture in Germany than it is perhaps in Australia or America.
Sure.
That, you know, the Germans are way past the monopolies of the world. You know, they're playing Carcassonne, they're playing Settlers. You know, both of those have been Spiel des Jahres winners.
And that's the level this is pitched
at. That's right. And I just don't see this fitting there.
So, look, suffice to say, we are a little disappointed. Well, actually, you know what? We're a lot disappointed with Camel Up or Camel Cup or whatever the hell it is you want to call it.
Look, we know, we sort of looked at each other. I think you might have said, hey, should we go again just to make sure, give it another chance? And we all just glared at you, daggers, and said, no.
All right, we got some live recording from the floor of PAX 2014, and we'll get to that next here on Edge Radio. It's 99.3 FM, The Dice Man Cometh Tonight. Apes, seven of them apparently, on Edge Radio, 99.3 FM. My name's Trent.
And I'm Mark.
And we are going to bring you some action from the floor of the Melbourne Convention Centre, a.k.a. Jeff's Shed, for PAX 2014. And I would like to apologise in advance of this, because if there's one thing that this experience over the past week has taught me, Mark, it's that I need to invest in some better recording equipment.
Look, we started out, we tried to pull the microphone out as often as we could to talk to designers, to talk to people involved, to talk to ourselves, and we started on the Friday morning at the airport.
So here we are, Hobart Airport, Hobart International Airport, the Dice Men preparing to depart for PAX Australia 2014.
I am super excited.
Neither of us had really looked at the schedule very much prior to last night in our typical half-assed fashion. Right. It's an amazing-looking event they've put together.
There's a huge variety of speakers and panels. I don't know if there's going to be any time for playing games.
You know there's a Seven Wonders tournament at this thing. Why are you laughing? What's funny?
Well, if you went in the PAX Seven Wonders tournament and came dead last, that would be just hilarious.
What else are you looking forward to, aside from seeing me humiliated in front of all my peers?
Look, I'm really excited to check out all the new games from Essen. I'm particularly excited about Alchemist.
That's if the games from Essen get there.
Yeah, well, I did ask on Facebook one of the demoers if it was there, and they said it is in a box. Nothing like leaving it.
It is in a box. The game is in a box. Technically not inaccurate, I suppose.
Yeah, so Alchemist and a few of the other games, the Castles of Mad King Ludwig. There's some really interesting panels. I was just mentioning about one about video gaming and Max. A pity we're going to miss the Jetstar people are now boarding, so that's not us.
Yeah. No, actually, Mark, I think they've just found you a bag full of porn that you left over at the security screening. You better go get that. Well, we've made it. PAX 2014. Mark, it's an awfully big, big place?
There are a lot of people here. A lot.
Who would have thought?
Amazing. The gaming area here, the board gaming area here, is only about, less than a fifth of the whole space, and the gaming area is huge.
I mean, look, we just walked through the video gaming, predominantly video gaming dominated expo hall. Yeah. There's a couple of exhibitors. The Cards Against Humanity guys have got an amazing stand. It looks like they're running for office at the next presidential election or something.
Absolutely, and we saw Sentinels of the Multiverse down there, the Greater Than Games.
Yep.
They're going to sell a truckload. Down here in the tabletop end, we've got a few game suppliers, a few retailers, a few people selling dice and miniatures and stuff, a load of tables full of games.
And this is the quiet day as well. This is the Friday, the first day. People are still working.
This is going to be absolute madness tomorrow. Absolute madness.
Okay, the Dice Men have been lucky enough to get their hands on a copy of Dead of Winter. I think it's pretty high on the list for a lot of people at PAX here today. And look, frankly, Mark and I were just sneaking over to see if the one copy of it that's in the library was free. We met a couple of randoms, and one of whom has since poleaxed us. And we've joined in the game. Josh, thank you for letting us join in your game of Dead of Winter.
You're welcome. Yes. I had some fun.
Yeah, I can tell. We'll get to that in a moment. And I want to thank Richard Canning for teaching it to us, mate. Thank you very much.
More than welcome. I was glad to help.
Now, you've taught this a couple of times already.
This is my second time teaching it today, yeah.
Okay. Well, look, you're obviously enjoying it then. Has it met expectations? Because this is like the new hotness.
Exceeded. It's my favourite. I'm loving this.
It really is rare that a game that's had this much hype actually does live up to it. Mark, I exiled you. That was a good bit of fun.
That was very fun for you, Trent. I don't know why Mole Santa got kicked out. He doesn't really have a drinking problem. And as for Greybeard the pirate, he was a friendly sort of pirate, like Captain Pugwash.
Because, of course, if there's going to be a betrayer or a conflict between two characters in any game that Mark and I play, it's going to be between the two of us. But no, it turns out that, Josh, you were the betrayer all along, you bastard.
Yeah, pretty much.
And just kind of snuck those winning conditions in at the very end. Did you actually win?
Well, I didn't win, but no one else won, so no, I consider it a half win.
No one won.
And what's better is no one expected I was going to betray them until no one could do a thing.
Has the hobby of board gaming at least won today?
I really think it has.
That's Dead of Winter. Two thumbs up from all of us. We all enjoyed ourselves.
Yep.
How's your PAX going, Mark?
I'm having a ball. I've played some really good games.
We've had a couple of people.
Yeah, two new games three new games I've never played before. Cogs, Going, Gone, and now the fantastic Dead of Winter. And we've only been here a few hours.
And look, it's about to get even more exciting because you know that Seven Wonders tournament I mentioned?
Yes.
Well, I've got a spot.
You sure you don't want to give that spot to someone who can play the game?
Well, excuse me. No, hang on. The last Seven Wonders tournament that I went in, okay, that we ran at the Hobart Winter Games Fest, and I know I always say I've never actually won a game of Seven Wonders, and technically speaking, I suppose it's true.
Yes.
But in that tournament, I came equal first. It was a tie.
Ah, yes. And you lost the tiebreaker.
Well, okay.
So you're saying you're in with a chance?
Maybe. If I win this, it's going to be like Mighty Ducks, you know? It's going to be all slow motion montages.
It's going to be the best comeback since Lazarus.
It's going to be the end of Star Wars: A New Hope. Right?
I'm going to be there to kiss you and pin the medal on you.
Please do. Okay. I'll come back to you once I've won.
Okay, I can't wait.
So we've made it outside at the end of day one of PAX 2014 in Melbourne, and how you doing, Mark? You're a bit worse for wear, buddy.
Oh, I'm just feeling a bit tired. It's a long day.
You're old. You're older than I am.
Don't say that. I'm excited, though. I just saw the Penny Arcade guys, Gabe and Tycho, come down from some special briefing they've been at, and they didn't wave to me. But
they didn't say, oh, it's one of the Dice Men coming.
No, they didn't, unfortunately. One of them sort of looked as if he recognised me, and then, lots of people ran over and got him to sign stuff.
Maybe he was just about to call security on your ass or something. Well, I've just come from a talk about horror RPGs featuring Mark Morrison, who's a guest at our panel, and look, it's got me all inspired to run, you know, a massive Call of Cthulhu campaign that takes 4 years out of our life and sends us all slowly and progressively insane. I'm looking forward to it.
Hey, look, sign me up. I've got nothing better to do. So, there's something, of course, I need to know, because you went in the Seven Wonders tournament and I went away for a while, and you haven't mentioned it since I've come back. So, how did it go?
So, isn't it great that we've all had a good first day here?
You didn't win?
I'm not prepared to say anything else on the matter.
How many people were in the game?
There were five of us in the first heat.
Did you make it to the final?
No.
Did you finish in the top four?
I really don't want to talk about it anymore.
So I'm guessing you didn't finish in the top four.
Oh, hey, look over there. There's a tram. Let's get it.
So that was the first part of our PAX coverage. We're coming back a bit more with a bit more of that in a minute. But first, some music.
Don't ask me about Seven Wonders.
Fifth out of five is nothing to be ashamed of. With daylight between you and fourth, Trent.
Edge Radio 99.3 FM. We'll talk to Paul Bender from Greater Than Games and amongst everything else on the Dice Man Cometh next.
That was Heavy Feet by Local Natives. You're with The Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. And while we're talking about Local Natives, I'd like to say thank you to those fantastic Melburnians that looked after us so well while we're at PAX. Thank you so much, guys. It was lovely to meet so many of you and play games with those of you. And also some people who weren't Melbourne natives, some people that even come as far as Townsville.
15 people from Townsville. The Game Night podcast crew made it down. That's Game Night with a K, an irregular podcast that makes it out of Townsville. We also said hello to Aaron from the Action Points podcast, and we're going to catch up with him at some point.
Mm.
And look, a big g'day to Richard. We heard from him there with Dead of Winter. And just also a Facebook shout out to Nathan Cantwell, Sarah James, Jade, and Lazark. You helped her with Thunderstone?
Yeah, I think that was her, yeah.
And also Michael Dart, who came up and said hello.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys. Look, it was lovely to meet people who said they actually enjoyed what we do. So it's not just two guys in here staring at each other and trying to be funny. People actually do listen. Who would have thought?
No, it's crazy. And look, on that, if you are preparing to listen to our continuation of the PAX 2014 coverage, I'll just give you a word of warning right now. I had... The night before I recorded this next bit, I had been to a little session about horror gaming and horror role-playing games like Call of Cthulhu, stuff like that, which might explain my little reaction to this.
If I could appeal to your humanity... There is only so much that anyone can take before snapping. I put it to you that I was not fully in control of my own actions that night, Your Honor, and cannot be held responsible for what was to come.
Okay, you're listening to Tabletop Gaming with the Odd Couple, the difference being that we're both Jack Klugman. It was an experience sharing a room with you, Mark, it really was.
Look, it's been fun. I'm a bit weary now, but you've taken me to some gastronomic heights over the weekend, I must admit.
And some corresponding lows.
Here we are. I did see a sign saying PAX is now... 78% complete.
Day three. We didn't do any recording during day two because, I mean, we just had to scale that sort of emotional and logistical height of getting our talk out of the way. And then after that, frankly, I just wanted to relax. I couldn't be bothered doing any recording. Yeah, how about you?
Exactly the same. It was fantastic to do it. Martin Wallace and Mark Morrison were brilliant.
They're a gentleman as well, and yeah. It's real professionals and nice guys, and couldn't do enough for us. It was great.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they really made it easy for us. You know, we did spend a lot of time preparing, and it showed, I think, in our panel, particularly when we compared it to some other panels that were perhaps less prepared and less professional.
Okay. No, now we're going to sound smug. Let's not do that.
But yeah, then, you know, like yesterday afternoon was just a great opportunity to kick back, play some games, have a couple of frosty beverages.
Catch up with some listeners as well, which is lovely.
Yeah, absolutely. Met some of our listeners, which is fantastic for us. Our listeners are so nice. They're such nice people.
Well, you know, I mean, hey, they take after their role models. You know, they're not made of wood.
That's right. So, look, yeah, it's been great. Now we're, you know, going to go in, try and get a couple more interviews, maybe a couple of games at the end of the time, and go and jump in the plane again.
Day three, here we go.
So we're here at PAX with Jason from Endgame Games. Now, Jason, we did mention the game that you kickstarted just recently, Hedron, on our show briefly. That was successful, and now you've moved on to your next game. Is that right?
Hedron funded a little bit ago, a couple of months, and it's now delivered and released. We're selling a few copies here at PAX, and I'm working on Ragnarol now.
How's PAX been for you?
It's been really, really great. It's been busy pretty much the whole time. We've had at least... We've got a little booth here that we're sharing with another guy, so we've had demos coming and extra demos kind of in the demo hall as well, so it's been great.
Is this the first sort of large convention that that Endgames have done?
Well, it's the largest convention in Australia. We've been to CanCon before, but compared to PAX, CanCon's pretty small.
And do the guys at PAX sort of look after the little indie guys?
Well, we still have to give them money.
Sure.
We still have to give them money, but it's still been great exposure.
Fantastic. And you've shifted a bit of product? I mean, that's the... And given you exposure to your games to a lot of people?
Yeah, the main thing we've been doing today is pushing Ragnarol. Like, Ragnarol is what we really want to try and get people interested in, and people are interested in it, which is fantastic.
All right, what's the elevator pitch for Ragnarol, mate?
A giant wolf is eating the sun. You control a band of Vikings. No more crops, no more cattle. You've just got a few stores, so you got to try and protect your own stuff, steal other people's stuff. Last person with food in the belly wins.
Ragnarol sounds like life in Gagebrook, don't you think?
And is it? Are you going to kickstart this as well?
Yeah, early next year.
We'll keep our eye out for us. You have to give us a yell, and maybe we'll talk to you then.
Yeah, excellent.
Thanks, Jason.
No worries.
Okay. Funny, the people you run into on the floor at PAX in the tabletop area. We got Paul from Greater Than Games, one of the major international presences here in the tabletop section of PAX. Paul, g'day. Welcome.
Thank you.
Well, welcome. I mean, it's day three. How's it been going? You've been running off your feet, you guys.
Oh, yeah, it's great. Our booth is over in Main Expo, so we're right next to League of Legends where they're doing regionals, and so we've had phenomenal foot traffic there. All of the demo tables have been packed, so it's been great.
Of course, it's all about Sentinels of the Multiverse and the new Tactics.
Yeah, Sentinel Tactics is brand new. I think this is the first time it's on sale in Australia. It just released at Gen Con in the States about 2 months ago, and it's been doing phenomenally well as well. So we're running demos over in the tabletop area as well as in our booth in Main Expo.
Interesting sighting for your booth, because you've got the perfect crossover product between video games and board games. You've got the comic aspect. You've got the miniature aspect. You're just in a great position there to get the traffic between the two and to get people who are perhaps not board gamers, but they're maybe into miniatures, they're maybe into video gaming.
Oh, absolutely. That's actually our whole strategy at PAX in general. Because here it's such a crossover show between video gamers and tabletop gamers that we always will put our booth over in the Main Expo next to the big video game companies and then work with the vendors over in tabletop who are also selling our stuff in the demo area over there that is demoing our things, so we get a presence in both places. We convert video gamers to tabletop gaming over there, then send them over to tabletop, and it works great.
Yeah, it's such a low barrier to entry for you guys. Now, look, I've got to be honest, and I've talked about this on the show before. I loved Sentinels when I got it, and
you kickstarted absolutely.
I had the original, you know, small box. You couldn't fit all the bloody cards into it. Thank you for rectifying that. You know, in a sense, I've kind of fallen out of love with the game because when I've tried to introduce it to new players, it's very, very fiddly. You know, it's so many different effects that stack on top of each other, and I found it hard to break new players into it. Have you tried to address that kind of issue with Tactics?
Yeah, so there's a couple things that we try to do. So Tactics is a very different kind of game. It has a lot less of the scorekeeping kind of aspects that you have to do with Sentinels. Some people don't mind it. Some people, like you said, definitely bugs them about that. And so it's a very fast-paced, head-to-head kind of competitive game. And so we're actually going to be starting to run tournaments of that, official tournaments, starting in about 2 weeks at our location in the U.S., Hopefully we'll have an official tournament here next year at PAX Oz. And then in terms of just the fiddliness of the cooperative game itself, we actually have an app out now.
Of course, the app does it all for you. That's right. The beauty of it, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So anyone that has that issue with it as well can get the app and then experience the same sort of game. So.
Paul Bender from Greater Than Games, thanks for talking to the Dice Man Cometh, mate.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for talking to me.
We've found a quiet
place to sit and chat at PAX. It's literally a spot on the corner of a room full of boxes marked Express from Essen. And I'm talking with Melissa Rogerson, the tabletop manager of PAX Australia. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm exhausted, but I can't imagine how you must be feeling. Day three, and I mean, it's not just what happens here on the floor today, it's everything else around it. Tell me what your job actually involves at the moment.
Today, look, I've been out on the floor. I have been talking with exhibitors, talking with enforcers, scheduling extra events. We had huge demand for our Settlers tournament, so we've had to add extra events. My role is really interfacing between PAX management and the staff here, and just making sure that we're doing everything we can to help our attendees have a great time.
You mentioned Settlers, and for us hardcore gamers, I think it's a little bit startling to see just how much Settlers and Carcassonne and Munchkin there actually is at this event.
The thing that really excites me about PAX is that it's an event for gamers, but they're not all tabletop gamers. So they're coming down, they're having a look around, they're saying, I want to try a new game. My daughter was here yesterday. She said to me last night, she said, I taught a game to someone, Mum. I taught them Ticket to Ride. And I said, that's a great game to choose to teach people. She said they'd only ever played Monopoly and Scrabble before. So they're here, they're yep. at PAX, but they've never played any of our games, if you like.
Yeah.
And they picked up Ticket to Ride. She said, we finished playing it, and they just sat down to play it again. They weren't going to put it back in the library. They loved it so much. And that's something I'm hearing from a lot of the people that I've got out on the floor teaching games, is the number of people who say, well, I enjoyed that. Now I'm going to play it straight away.
Yep. And look, they're called gateway games for a reason. So, you know, if it gets people into the hobby, it's a good thing. Now, the big question. Did the games arrive from Essen?
They're out there now on the floor.
Yeah. And look, Mark's actually just playing Alchemist right now, or at least trying to wrap his head around it at this point in the weekend, which is a bit difficult. Can you nominate a game of the con?
Can I nominate two?
Sure.
Ticket to Ride, which is our gateway game of the con. Mm. So we ran a Ticket to Ride tournament on Friday, and we haven't stopped running Ticket to Ride tournaments since then because everybody wants to play it. My other game of the con is Machikoro. So that's my newbie, absolute, everybody loves it. Getting it out there was just the best decision we had.
Yeah, look, and we thoroughly enjoyed it as well. We also enjoyed our little panel that you invited us to put together, and I think that seemed to go well. Did you get any feedback on that?
I've heard fantastic things about it. I'm actually
I'm fishing for compliments, basically. Yeah.
Well, you know, I heard fantastic things about three of the people on the panel. No.
It was just so great to meet Martin and to meet Mark as well. Thank you for inviting us to be a part of this. And we look forward to doing it again next year, because we'd love to come back and do some more and be a little bit better organised now that we know what we're facing.
I hope you'll be back. You know, I'm so excited about next year. We've already started planning for what we want to do.
All right. Well, look, congratulations on a successful event, and enjoy it when it's all over. Put your feet up.
Thanks very much.
And a final thanks to Melissa and to everyone and all the volunteers and enforcers and everyone at PAX 2014.
They did an amazing job. Absolutely amazing.
Okay, this is Edge Radio, the Dice Men Cometh. Edge Radio 99.3 FM, that is. On Edge Radio 99.3 FM, Trent and Mark are the Dice Men Cometh. We talk board games and card games, and I use some really, really crappy recording equipment to give you coverage of PAX 2014 over the past weekend. And we've got just one more interview from that I want to play. We might do it next week.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
Because we haven't quite got time, and I don't want to overflow this show. We caught up with a representative from Steve Jackson Games, not Steve Jackson himself. He wasn't there. Publisher of Munchkin and
Ogre,
many, many games from my childhood. Mm. So they're one of those companies that I grew up with. So seeing them there, I had to go and talk.
And they are a huge player in the market. And the really interesting thing was, as we'll discover next week, is they weren't there selling games at all. They were actually there to support retailers.
Also, apologies to Wesley from Reyes Games, who we met at PAX. Now, It was hard to miss him. He was dressed as a mad scientist. That's right. And he had a giant playable version of his little tile-laying game, Cogs.
Those tiles were, a foot and a half square?
It's not a little tile-laying game at all. It's a steampunk-themed sort of pattern recognition thing with a really good little strategic element to it. I played it before at BorderCon, the actual proper size version. Seeing it there, this enormous giant version that he had printed up at no small cost, let me tell you.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, Cogs is a great game that's going to get kickstarted. Was it
early next year, I think?
Yep. Okay. Look, Wesley, we're apologizing. I recorded an interview with him and the audio wasn't even usable. So we're going to get back to him and talk about that Kickstarter again.
Oh, look, and kudos to Wesley, who stayed in character in his mad scientist garb, sort of looking like a cross between Dr. Smith and... who's the lead from... Dr. Horrible, of course, in Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog. You know, really channeling Dr. Horrible. Yeah. And he stayed in character the whole 3 days. Amazing effort, Wes. Well done, mate.
In fact, it was great to see a lot of Australian designers there.
Yeah, now we caught up with a few of them. Now, another apology. I want to apologise to Alan Cheng from Rule and Make. Now, they had a fantastic little Kickstarter a while ago, very successful, with their sort of space card game, Rise to Power. And Alan was there demoing the game, looking really beautiful. We did say we're going to come back and talk to him, and we ran out of time completely. So I'm so sorry, Alan. But super exciting news for them. I think it was on the plane home. Ape Games from America tweeted that they had just picked up Rule and Make's Rise to Power and were bringing it to mass market. That is so exciting. Congratulations, Alan and the team at Rule and Make Games.
You weren't tweeting on the plane, were you? When your phone should have been off?
No. Once you're in the air, you're allowed to use your devices because they hook up to the plane's Wi-Fi. It's all legal.
Also, we owe Jason from Endgame Games another interview. And what we'll do in the meantime is put up a link to his Ragnarol project that he was demoing there. And one other project that you know about that's coming up soon on Kickstarter.
Look, we ran into David from Grail Games. He was there at PAX all weekend. Obviously, they had the fantastic Kickstarter 101. Their other game, 11sies for One. Another great Australian indie game design group. And remember when we spoke to David, he teased us with that he was going to be having some games that he hadn't designed, but other games that he was going to bring to market. Well, just, I think it was yesterday, I saw a press release where Grail Games are pleased to announce that they're going to be publishing a game called Too Many Cinderellas.
Mm-hmm,
now, Grail Games did send us a tweet about this, and I thought they were having a go at us, saying we were princesses. But it's another Japanese game.
Yeah.
A small card game, Japanese designer, and they are going to be having a Kickstarter come out in 2015 for this game, Too Many Cinderellas. So fantastic to see all these Australian designers and publishers really coming to the fore. You know, we've spoken about people like Matt Dunstan and the bigger end of town in terms of designing for some of the bigger companies. But these indie designers and publishers, they're doing really well. We're going to see a renaissance in Australian board game design and publishing. I'm calling it now.
It's nice to have a lot to talk about in that realm and to have plenty of games to talk about. But this is really nothing compared to the main attraction at PAX, which was, of course, the video games.
Oh, yeah.
All right. And I mean, look, in my professional capacity, I've been to a lot of trade expos and, you know, various functions and whatever where you have marquees set up. I've never seen anything like this.
No,
the scale of technical skill in the staging, the live webcasting, the video streams, incredible.
Yeah, it was really amazing. You know, an app with the schedule, live updating. Look, it was just an amazing event to be part of, and it's really interesting to see how, you know, Penny Arcade, an online webcomic that started this whole thing and then spun off into Penny Arcade Expo or PAX, that has PAX in Seattle, has PAX East, I think it's in Chicago, now PAX Australia. I did hear a rumour that potentially they're going to have one in London. It's become this beast of its own.
That's right. Do you feel that the tabletop gaming is kind of the poor cousin? in this thing?
Oh, look, I guess you certainly got that impression because it was sort of, I'm not being rude when I say it was sort of tucked up the end of the hall in the last, I don't even know, I said 1/5 before, I don't even know if it was 1/5, maybe.
Tucked up the end, it's a huge space.
Oh, look, it was.
What'd you say the capacity was?
I believe there was something like 30,000 people there, and in the tabletop gaming part, there was enough space for 2,000 people to be playing at once, and many times there were that many people playing.
Is that seating?
Yeah,
Because you couldn't get a seat for the weekend.
No, basically, we were standing there waiting for a game. We would just jump as soon as a group of gamers would stand up from their table. It was that packed. And this is from where last year they had this problem. They grew it by 3 times.
One thing that did surprise me about PAX, given that we hadn't actually been there before, is the amount of cosplay.
Going
on. And look, I have got to say, cosplay is clearly a lot of fun for the people who are involved, and they go to a huge amount of effort. But I don't know, is it fun for anyone else, really? I mean, I kind of feel, frankly, embarrassed to be surrounded by these scantily clad women, and I have to sort of, you know, who are dressed up as the video game characters, Croft or the chicks from Mortal Kombat or whatever. I don't know where to look, you know, because PAX is all about being inclusive being sexist and, you know, not being annoying in that way. So it makes me sort of feel a bit awkward and pervish as an old man like I am. And frankly, unless you've done an amazing job with your cosplay and spent a bit of money, you just look like an idiot. If you go in there with a half-assed costume...
I have to disagree. I think, you know... Now, I will agree with you. There was a whole bunch of people who were... If you've ever played The Sims, and I haven't, but I've seen it online, you know, if you see... There's someone, I think, who has a quest. They have, like, a little green diamond over their head that says you can go and talk to them and get a quest.
The active character.
And there was... And there was a heap of people that had, you know, like, a spring with a green cardboard diamond on the top.
Which is cool.
Yeah, like, I get the joke, but after you've seen 50 or 60 of them, it sort of wears thin. But, look, there were some absolutely amazing costumes that clearly people put so much time and effort into. But I think equally there were some really, really clever ones. Can't think of any off the top of my head at the moment, but there were so many really clever costumes that were... didn't nowhere near as intricate as the major ones, but really clever.
There was a fantastic tweet over the weekend as well, because of course it was the Spring Racing Carnival in Melbourne, and I can't give I can't remember the guy's name, so I can't give him credit. So I'll just steal the tweet because it was so funny. It was old people on trams looking at young people cosplaying, young people looking back at the old people cosplaying as landed gentry.
It was so true. I mean, which of them looked weirder with those stupid hats?
It was definitely a generational clash. Mm. And I guess that's what the weekend drove home to me, that PAX isn't actually a hardcore, nerdy board gaming event. It's nerdy in an entirely different way. Mm. And that's why there were so many of the gateway games like your Ticket to Ride and your Machikoro and your Settlers of Catan. They were just being played constantly.
Look,
everywhere you looked all weekend.
I even saw a group of people, you know, like you could have knocked me over with a feather at a tabletop convention.
Oh, no.
I saw a group of people...
No, you didn't.
...playing Monopoly.
No!
Yep. I had to look twice. I thought it was like a comedy version. But no, they were actually playing Monopoly. And the great thing was... they were loving it.
Okay.
They were having a great time.
Well, maybe they might be compelled to try something different
that
doesn't end in a fight every time you play it.
Look, and the great thing was, you know, when you looked around that tabletop area, clearly probably only about a third of people were sort of hardcore gamers like us. The other two-thirds were people that had bled up from... The trading card area, the video game area, the miniatures area to try out a board game. It was fantastic to see that cross bleed across all the different genres.
And clearly, as we said at the start of all this, there is a tiny breath of a flame of a local board game publishing industry.
Mm.
And every one of us, not just, I mean, this podcast is part of it, all the other podcasters and anyone who goes to these things, we're all a part of that. And we need to, you know, nurture this stuff if we want to have this stuff happening locally. And we're very, very happy to be a part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess that's the reason why I have been so passionate about a lot of Kickstarters. Also shout out to El Luchadore Fantastico Grande. Al Canes did give us an offer, I think via tweet or via Facebook, to come and play that game. We didn't get a chance. It does look really good. Check it out. It's still on Kickstarter now.
Yeah, look, we owe everyone an interview and some airtime on this show, okay? Just, you know, send us emails or something, okay? Just pester us, all right? It's not like this is our full-time job. We are the Dice Men Cometh. We'll catch you next week on Itch Radio 99.3 FM. See ya!
Bye!
This has been an edit of the Dice Men Cometh from Edge Radio 99.3 FM, Hobart's independent youth station. Find us on Facebook and edgeradio.org.au.